chapter 6, which records the Sermon on the Plain, and which is Luke's version of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. And we come this morning to the section which deals with loving our enemies. Verse 27 of chapter 6. But I say to you that hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, speak well of those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Actually, that's not a good translation. The Greek says, to him who punches you on the jaw. It's much stronger than we have it here in the RSV. To him who punches you on the jaw, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, the outer garment, do not withhold even your shirt, which was the nether garment. Give to everyone who begs from you. And of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And in the letter to the Romans, at chapter 12 and verse 14. Romans 12 and 14. Bless those who persecute you, which means speak well of you. Logeo is the word for bless. It, strictly speaking, means happy talk. You logeo, happy talk. Speak happy talk of those who persecute you. Speak happy talk and do not curse them. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And in chapter 13, at verse 8, owe no one anything except to to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. May God add a blessing to these readings from his word and grant us an understanding of them. Now, the passage which we read this morning from the middle of chapter 6 of Luke is part of the Sermon on the Plain. And its teaching here is the heart of Christ's teaching, and the theme is loving our enemies. And Christ's method of teaching here is simple. First of all, he states a broad general principle that we are to love our enemies. But I say to you that here, love your enemies. And then he follows this by telling us of the particular ways in which we can express love for our enemies. And he says, this is how it's done. Do good to those who hate you. And the Greek means do something actively and positively good to those who hate you. Speak well of those who curse you. Eulogeo, happy talk. Engage in happy talk about those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. First of all, there's the general principle that we are to love our enemies. And then you have the particular ways in which we are to love them. And it seems that Jesus has in mind here the fourth of these Beatitudes in this Sermon on the Plain. It's found in verse 22, where he says, happy are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. And throughout all of that, there is the assumption that the Christian in this world will have enemies. A living, dynamic Christian will have enemies. And in the last of the four woes of the sermon, he says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. It is not a good thing for a Christian to be in with everybody and to be everybody's buddy and extremely popular. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. In this world, Jesus says, the Christian will have enemies. Marvel not if the world hate you. The world hated me before it hated you. He that will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. In this world, a living dynamic Christian is to expect enmity and hatred and exclusion and rejection for the sake of the Son of Man. And Jesus says, when you are confronted with such enemies, you are to love them. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Speak well of those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. And love like this, as Francis Schaeffer says in his book, The Mark of the Christian. Love like this is the hallmark, above all others, of a living Christian. To live like this is to be a Christian, and not to love like this is not to be a Christian. Can I say just a word, first of all, then, about this special word, love, that Jesus uses here? I think we all know that the English language is very weak when it comes to expressing ideas of love. For example, a man may say, I love strawberry tarts. And in the same breath, he can also say, I love the church cantatas of Bach. But of course, a love for strawberry tarts is not quite the same as a love for Bach's church cantatas. He can also say, and I love a good round of golf on a cold and frosty morning. But loving golf is not the same as loving strawberry tarts. And in the same breath he says, and I love my wife and family. And it is to be hoped that his love for his wife and family is on a different level from love of strawberry tarts, or even of Bach's cantatas, or even of golf. You see, we just have the one word, love. But the Greek had four words for love. The first one is the word storge. And storge love is affection love. It's cuddly love, if you like. It's tactile, cozy love. It's the love that you see in little children cuddling teddy bears or puppies or pet kittens. It's warm, soft, gentle, affection love. Storge. The second kind of love is eros, which is erotic or romantic love. It's the love between a man and a maid. And perhaps this is the most dangerous of the four kinds of love, because eros is a very demanding and an imperious and a commanding urge within the human personality. Men have murdered for the sake of eros, and nations have gone to war for the sake of eros. Third kind of love is philia, which is friendship love, and it's the love you see between David and Jonathan. And this kind of love, philia love, often starts when two people discover that they have an interest that they share. For example, they have a common love of watching snooker, or of going to international rugby matches, or of making lace, or of listening to choral music. And the philia friendship love is built on that shared interest. But the fourth kind of love is agape love. And this is divine love. It's the love of God for sinners. It is self-giving love. It's the love of the unworthy and the undeserving, simply because it is in the nature of agape love to go on loving and loving and loving and loving, whether there is any response or not. Agape love. It's the sort of love that Samuel Crossman sings of in his fine hymn. My song is love unknown. My Saviour's love to me. Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. It's the love that is seen in the self-emptying of the Holy Son of God in the incarnation at Bethlehem. It's the love that is seen in the self-emptying of Christ in the crucifixion at Golgotha. It's the love that is seen in the salvation of every sinner who comes to Christ. And it is the love of God that is planted in the heart of every Christian. As Paul says in Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. The agape of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This agape of God that is seen, first of all, in the gospel message of grace. This agape of God that is poured, first of all, into us and then out of us on our friends and our enemies alike. And this word, agape, is the word that Jesus uses for loving our enemies. We are to agapao our enemies. We are to pour self-giving love on those who hate us and abuse us and despitefully use us. One of the old preachers used to put it this way, speaking about the four loves. He said, these four loves are saying four different things. Storge, which is affection, cuddly love. Storge says, belonging is great fun. When you watch children playing with toys and teddy bears and dolls and puppies. Belonging is great fun. Eros love says, you belong to me. Philia love says, we belong to each other. But agape love says, I belong to you. And that's what God says in agape love. I belong to you. I give myself to you without reserve and without conditions. And this is what agape love says to its enemies. I belong to you, and I give myself to you, and I love you without reserve and without conditions. A broad principle that we are to agape our enemies, and then the particular ways in which we are to do it. We are to do good to those who hate us. Positive, active, constructive good to those who hate us. We are to engage in happy talk about those who curse us. And we are to pray for those who abuse us. We are to love them with the agape love of God. And the New Testament gives us two very good reasons why we should learn to love our enemies like this. First reason is this. According to the New Testament, love is the crown and the climax of the law of God. It is not the end of the Ten Commandments, merely that we should live upright, righteous, strict, careful, clean lives. That's not the whole end of the Ten Commandments. The end of the Ten Commandments is that we should love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Love is the crown and the climax of the Ten Commandments. Listen to how Paul puts it again in Romans chapters 12 and 13. In 12, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, kill him with kindness. If he's thirsty, give him drink, kill him with kindness. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And in chapter 13 and at verse 8, owe no one anything except the debt of love one to another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor, and therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Not simply an upright life, a life of moral rectitude, but a life of love. And that word fulfilled there means filling to the full. Love is the filling to the full of the commandments. And the reference is to the Greek method of addition. You know, we are rather crazy in the way we do our additions. We add up a column of figures, and then we waste energy by jumping to the bottom and drawing a line and putting the answer at the bottom. But that's not how the Greeks did it. The Greeks totted up the figures, and then very sensibly, they wrote the total at the top. And that was the fulfilling of the sum. That was the filling to the full of the addition sum. And in exactly the same way, the Ten Commandments, which enshrine the moral law of God, are summed up in the word love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And if you think of the commandments as divided into 4 and 6, the first 4 commandments are summed up in love towards God. No God but God. No false gods. No careless use of God's name. Keeping God's day special. These 4 commandments are summed up in love towards God. The second 6 commandments are about love towards our neighbors, whether they're friends or foes. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Do not steal. All these are about you and your neighbor. And summed up, they represent love for our neighbors. And so love is the crown and the climax of Christian morality and Christian behavior. The man who loves keeps the law of God. And the man who keeps the law of God is the man who loves. For love is the filling to the full, the summing up of the moral law. But there's another good reason why we should learn to love our enemies. And it has to do with what happens when love like this is expressed. It's the teaching of the Bible, you see, that when the love of God comes forth, it comes forth in 2 ways. First of all, there is the wrath of God's love, which is seen in the judgments of God. And that is the darker side of agape. People often say, how can you speak about an angry God when in fact The Bible says that God is a God of love. But that's to misunderstand the nature of love. A God who could not be angry could not be a God of love. You see, only a loving God has a right to be angry. There is the wrath of God's love seen in his judgments. But there is also the grace of God's love, which is seen in the good news of the gospel. God's loving kindness towards sinful, undeserving men and women. God's mercy lavished on the undeserving. Love to the loveless shown, says Samuel Crossman, that they might lovely be. Or as Augustine put it, he loved us foul that he might make us fair. And these are the options when the agape of God is released. Will you have the wrath of God's love in judgment? Or will you have the grace of God's love in the gospel message? Let me tell you a story. I think I've mentioned it before. I was coming home from the United States on one of my trips. And we were making for Kennedy Airport. And there had been storms all over the United States. And most of the flights coming into Kennedy Airport were late. It was Friday night, and it all was pandemonium at the airport because everyone was trying to get home for the weekend. And I only had a short time to get round Kennedy Airport to the British Airways terminal, and so I took all my baggage, threw it into a taxi, and said to the man, "Get me to the BA terminal as fast as you can." And we were just about to set off when the door of the taxi opened and this big black man got in. And I thought, oh, this is it. Mugged, robbed, stabbed in a taxi, killed. What an end. What a death. He wasn't a mugger. He said very politely, "Can I come with you and share this taxi?" I said, "Well, of course, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Addis Ababa." Well, I said, "I'm not going to such a romantic place. I'm going to Scotland, but come on, we'll share the taxi." And we chatted on the way around to the BA terminal, and it turned out that he was the Emperor Haile Selassie's ambassador to the United States. And at that time, there had been riots in the streets of Addis Ababa. And we discussed these riots, the students and the Marxists and the red flags and revolution. And the Emperor Haile Selassie had just issued the revolutionaries with an ultimatum. And he said, "This is the option. Repent and be pardoned. If not, you will be brought to judgment." And Haile Selassie was criticized for being barbaric and primitive. It was something from the Middle Ages, people said. But in fact, it's something from the gospel. Repent and be pardoned. If not, you will be brought to judgment. As Spurgeon said in one of his famous sermons, "Turn or burn. Turn or burn." The love of God shown through Christians for their enemies either brings men to a turning or to a burning. It brings them to heaven or it brings them to hell. You love men and women into heaven or you love men and women into hell. And you've either got this kind of love in you or you haven't. Have you got that kind of love in you? The agape love of God, the strong, resilient, hard, tough, persevering, enduring love of God. Have you got it in you? That person you cannot stand, somebody you can't endure, somebody you'll never forgive, somebody about whom you entertain bitter reservations. Do you love that person or don't you? Do you bless that person? Do you speak well of him or her? Do you pray for that person? Do you do active, positive good for that person? If you've got it, you're a Christian. If you don't, you're not a Christian. And it's no good saying, oh, but I'm a Christian. I've had experiences of God, and I pray and I read my Bible, and I've always come to church, and I've always lived a pious life. If you do not have this kind of love, you are not a Christian. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was sitting in a Nazi jail a few weeks before the end of the Second World War, a few weeks, in fact, before Hitler hanged him. And he wrote these words, "Give me such love for God and man as will blot out all hatred and bitterness." Martin Luther King said before he died, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." Agape love is the love that gives and gives and gives, because it's in the nature of agape love to give. And you either have it or you don't. If you have it, you're a Christian. And if you don't have it, whatever else you may have, you cannot be a Christian. He who loves, lives. And he who lives, loves. To be alive in Christ is to love like this, and to love like this is to be alive in Christ. For to love like this is to be a Christian. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and speak well of those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. May God give us grace so to do. Amen. May he add his blessing to the preaching of his word. Now these lovely words by Christina Rossetti, 358, to the tune Delhi. O ye who taste that love is sweet, set waymarks for all doubting feet that stumble on in search of it. 358.